The Old Testament reading is from Exodus, the 20th chapter. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord is giving to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 19 responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard.
Their measuring line goes out through all the earth.
And their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun.
Which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber.
And like a strong man, runs its course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuits to the end of them.
And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The just decrees of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired by day than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from committing faults.
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand now for the Lenten verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And so the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we gather here today, I mean, there have been reports all over the news about the incredible blizzard right out west. We've heard stories of 10 feet of snow, almost 200-mile-an-hour winds, all the craziness of what it's like out there right now. And we know that winter weather often disrupts our travel plans, right? In fact, each year about 60,000 airline flights get canceled because of bad weather, which of course costs the airline industry an estimated $3 billion. But it's not just the cold and the snow, it's not just winter that can be disruptive. Hurricanes and tornadoes also can disrupt life as we know it. Protesters disrupt meetings. Kids can be disruptive in school. All of us have experienced a time when an illness or a bad diagnosis has disrupted our future plans. But today in our gospel, Jesus seems to be rather disruptive himself. In our text, we hear, in the temple, Jesus found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And then, making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. So we see a rather tenacious Lord today, a Lord Jesus who disrupts the plans of those who are in the temple that day. He is there changing out things. And he is not a young boy anymore asking deep theological questions. He's not turning water into wine, healing the blind, curing the lepers, or raising anyone from the dead. And he's not teaching his disciple a winsome parable here. No, we see Jesus about his business, his calling. And he's making a whip of cords, turning over tables, driving out the money changers. And I don't know about you, but I don't like the look of this Jesus, right? I mean, this is not the Jesus that we prefer to see and to model. You know, we think of Jesus as the one who goes after the one lost sheep. We're used to a gentle, soft-spoken Jesus who just calmly confronts sinners while outwitting his enemies. But that's not what we get today. That's not what we see Jesus doing. We see him going full bore while holding nothing back. And we might be thinking in our minds, did Jesus lose his cool here? Is this really our loving Savior who willingly took our sins to the cross? I mean, what happened to the command to love your neighbor as yourself? What about the Jesus who welcomes sinners and eats with them? Aren't we supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us? And we would all say, as God's people, yes, all that's true. However, it's important for us to note that this isn't a different Jesus, nor is Jesus acting out of character. This is our patient, merciful Jesus acting out of love and compassion for his people. Now, was Jesus upset here? Sure, I'm sure he was. Was he angry? Probably so. You know, in these actions, when Jesus is acting this way, you know, it confronts our misconceptions about Jesus always being the soft-spoken one. This is the Savior. The Savior who has to confront every evil, every sin, every trespass, and note it for what it is. You see, he has to bring attention to the fact that this is breaking of law, this is breaking of fellowship with God, that this is a sin and therefore needs to end. And so Jesus makes sure that the people get that. Those money changers, those selling and trading in the courts of the temple, Jesus is setting the record straight. That's not what the temple was brought into being for. The temple was there to be the place where God's presence was and where people could go and meet with God, pray to him, and offer their sacrifices. Sacrifices that were going to point to a future sacrifice, the one that would pay for sin of all time. And so the oxen, the sheep, the pigeons, they were all the animals that pointed to the future that Jesus was going to accomplish for us on the cross. That he was going to shed his unbelievably precious blood for us, that he was going to atone for all the ugliness and sin and errors of our lives. And this disruptive Jesus is a Jesus who loves his enemies enough to disrupt them from their sinful life. You know, sometimes you almost have to shake the tree, right? To get things to fall out, to get things to come down. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's getting their attention in the type of action that they can only relate to. So you and I, today, we see Jesus at work, pointing out sin where sin is, where sin didn't even think that it was at, but yet was there anyway and was being called good. No wonder he got upset, right? Because there's no one good but God in a sinful world. And here were people making money, exchanging money, probably cheating people out of money, and all for the sake of God. No wonder he calls it out. And he calls it out because he loves all people. He loves his enemies. He loves you and I. He wants us to understand that we are accountable for our sins. You see, Jesus disrupts the chaos of our world and gives us a peace that, of course, surpasses all our understanding. This is the disruptive Jesus that loves enough to come forcefully into our lives so that we might receive his holy life. And that ultimately what he wanted to do for the money changers in the temple was to help them understand that what they were doing was wrong and that they should have been there with an attitude of prayer. And they should have been giving thanks to God rather than figuring out how they were going to cheat the next person in line. And so you and I, we are held accountable for our sins. We don't like to think about that, okay? You know, we get our just desserts. We, you know, face the consequences of our errors and our sinfulness. We walk in our misdeeds. We sometimes glorify the good that we try to do. And yet also, at the same time, we ignore all the things we do wrong. And our Lord Jesus doesn't let us get away with it. Okay? He doesn't let us get away with it. And the purpose of that is not to make us feel bad, but rather so that we might repent, so that we might be turned back to God, so that we would know his love, his concern, to understand the consequences, real life consequences of sin. You know, many times we treat sin as if it's some delicacy that we strive to have, but sin is anything but. Sin in this world is very common. It's very rude. It's very abrasive. It can get as slippery and delicate as it might need to be, but sin is still sin, and it's still ugliness in the sight of God. No wonder today we get the Ten Commandments poured out at us to help us see what God would have us to live like, to honor his name, to pray, to lift up others. And so the easiest thing Jesus could have done in our text today would be to ignore everything, to just let everything be as it was. But he doesn't do that. Out of love, because he wants everyone to be with him in heaven, Jesus answers the critics of that day and says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then, "Well, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you by yourself are going to raise it up in 3 days?" Yeah, right. But he was not speaking about the physical building of the temple, but the temple of his body. That now, in this day, a great exchange is going to take place. That the holy temple, the temple where God's presence is no longer a physical building, but a physical body. Christ with his people. That is where God's presence is. That it's now Jesus, who is God, who is among the people. That is indeed the temple. And that is where we go for our help. Because in the temple of Jesus' body, we see the sacrifice for sins. We see that once for all on the cross. But we also see the empty tomb. We see rejoicing as another sinner repents and is brought home. We see people transformed by the love of Jesus. Notice it's not being in a building, but it's the relationship that Jesus makes with us. Jesus goes to the cross and is raised in 3 days for our salvation. He comes in and disrupts all the things that would keep you and me from the loving hands of his Father. And he understands that this is his Father's house, and he loves his Father. And he wants every one of us to respect his Father's house so that we too can be in that Father's house forever. And so may you and I today stop listening to the lies of the devil and start doing things in Jesus' way. To remember the commandments, to keep them holy, to continue to strive for godliness in your life. Not that we're going to attain it, we're not perfect people, but we are people dependent upon a God who works for us, who came under the law for us, who kept the Ten Commandments perfectly for us, so that we might be spared. So, before we get too excited today about Jesus turning over the tables, maybe we should check our own tables. What have we placed there in front of God? What's on our table, as it were? Are we putting our good works up in front of God and waving them in front of Him as if that's something that's of great value? Are we putting up in front of God, you know, our misconceptions about things? Or are we even putting our love for money, for the nice things in life, for all those wonderful things and luxuries? Are we putting those in front of God on the table? Is that what we go into the temple of God and interact with? You see, you and I, we come for something more precious than the things on the table. We come for the Lord Jesus, who promises to be with us. Yesterday, I had a Confirmation 3 class, and we gathered up here around the altar, and we discussed how it is a place of sacrifice, a table right in front of God, and how God comes to us through the elements of bread and wine to again announce to us His forgiveness, to give us hope, to reestablish His relationship with us, that all there at that table, the table in the house of God, should be Jesus, because He's the only one who can take away the sins of the world, who can cleanse us from our sins. So, praise be today to our disruptive Jesus, who stops at nothing to save us. He disrupts our lives, and when He does so out of love and mercy. And He does this so that no human can boast in the presence of God. Because who are we to boast in? We are to boast in the Lord and in Him alone. Because only Jesus, God Himself, can make the sacrifice for our sins and give us what we need the most, forgiveness and life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, keep us unto everlasting life. Amen.